Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 106 with Alex Stone of Athletes of Valor.
You know, sometimes, you know, for example, even over the holiday this past weekend, people were, you know, asked if I had to work on a certain day. And I said, did I have to work on a certain day? I said, this is my life. I mean, this is what I do. So it's always funny because it's not a, you know, what your life looks like is for me, this is what I want to make my life's work and what I'm passionate about and what I enjoy doing.
Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with Alex today. First of all, if you're interested in the sports industry, Under Armour, any sort of sports equipment, this is a great podcast. Alex talks about his work at Under Armour, the several years he spent there flying all over the world and getting to know many different facets of that business, everything from producing equipment to the costs of it to finding trends. And I found it very insightful and a great potential industry for a lot of listeners. The second reason I think this is great to listen to is the company that Alex started, Athletes of Valor. It recognizes that people coming out of the military are generally athletic and in good shape. And he also recognizes that if you are in a collegiate sport, you are much more likely to graduate. And it really fills a lot of gaps in that camaraderie and plugging people in and getting them going with that school life. And so he started Athletes of Valor to help veterans free of charge, make it easier for them to get connected with coaches at schools and helps coaches recruit veteran athletes. So I think it's great to listen for that. Third of all, though, is he talks about starting Athletes of Valor, and I just loved his description of entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking of starting your own company, I just love Alex's thoughts on hustling. He worked and continued to work at Under Armour while on lunch hours and nights and evenings and weekends. He was putting together his company and really getting things going to a point where he couldn't do both at the same time. And he decided to leave his dream job in his dream company to start Athletes of Valor. So lots of great reasons to listen to today's show. As always, at beyonduniform.io, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss, as well as an offer from audible.com, who's offering a free trial, one free ebook to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You can learn more about that at beyonduniform.io/books. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Alex Stone. Well, joining me today in Boston, Massachusetts, is Alex Stone. Alex, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for listeners, wanted to give a quick background. Alex is the founder and CEO of Athletes of Valor, whose mission is to help veterans transition from service to career by leveraging the power of collegiate sports. He started out as a sergeant in the Marine Corps, after which he worked as a product manager at Wellpower Sports Company and then at Under Armour as both a development manager and then product line manager. So, Alex, to start things off, how would you describe Athletes of Valor?
Sure. So Athletes of Valor, it really comes from my own personal experience of being a high school athlete and then enlisting in the Marine Corps. So there was no clear path to go play collegiate sports once I separated from the Marine Corps. And obviously that was something that at the time would have been interested to me. So what we've done is we've built that platform, which allows active duty servicemen and women to come on our platform, create essentially a marketing profile of themselves, both who they are as an athlete, who they are serving in the military, and who they are as a potential student athlete at the collegiate level. So that allows coaches to then come on, be able to identify them, evaluate their athletic ability, and that they could be a good fit for their team, and then directly recruit them off the platform.
That's great. It's I never thought about that. Like that transition to people that want to be college athletes, and like how do they sell themselves, and how do they get in touch with those different people? And so it sounds like you're serving as that bridge point between the sports directors at colleges that are looking for great talent and people coming out of the military that are in good shape and want to pursue that path.
Exactly. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of veterans who move on and you hear the success stories across the country and on a one here and one there. And the reality is, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of men and women transitioning every year. And most of them have that athletic ability to some extent to play at the collegiate level. So it's really all the pieces of the puzzle are out there. It's really just connecting those dots through a simple technology platform. platform, and then also providing the educational piece for anyone on active duty who says, hey, how do I market myself to a coach? How do I apply to a school? How do I find a school that's a good fit? And then also answer the coaches' questions. Are these, you know, is everyone damaged who's coming out of the military? What about PTSD? What about eligibility? Are they too old? You know, do they still have their eligibility? And we can help answer all those questions and just facilitate everything directly through our platform.
And I'm wondering if someone's listening right now and they're on active duty, they're thinking about this. What does that process look like then? So they go to your site, they sign up. What sort of materials are they putting together through Athletes of Valor?
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty simple. You sign up. Everything's 100% for free for anyone on active duty or veterans or even reservists. And what it is, it's a tool to create your profile. So you're going to be asked, you know, very simple questions just to get a better understanding of your current situation. You know, are you on active duty? Where are you stationed? What's your separation date? And then get an idea of your athletic background. There's three things that we look for: your athletic background, your educational background, and then your military background. There's just a series of a few questions in an area to upload videos that shows recent training videos or old highlight films that you might have had from high school, or if you're still playing some type of competitive level sports, whether it's intramurals on base or out in town somewhere along that nature. So we want to make sure that all of your information is housed in one place. So it's very simple once you connect with a coach that you have everything you need.
Is there anything, if someone was interested in this path, and someone's on active duty, what could they be doing right now to get themselves ready for the application process?
I think the biggest thing you could do is it's never too early to start talking with whether it's colleges and identifying a target list of where you think is a good fit for you, you know, from a geographic location to an education level to particular degree programs that you're interested in. And what you can be doing is starting to, you think that you might have 2 years before you separate, but the reality is those application deadlines come up pretty quickly. So whether you're taking online courses to boost your GPA, whether you're studying for SATs or ACTs, if you decide you want to go to a more challenging higher education institution, which some schools, you know, don't require that anymore, make sure you're just starting to get all those pieces together. It takes time to get your high school transcripts and any other recommendations you might have from a high school coach that you might have had. So just start gathering all that information. Our platform lets you just put all of that in there and start creating your profile, because the sooner that you're visible to coaches, the more likely you are to be found and be recruited, and those coaches will start reaching out to you directly. And you can commit 18 months to 2 years in advance to a school and say, hey, once I separate, you know, I'm going to apply and go through the application process and then be on campus.
I'm wondering, in the work that you've done with veterans so far, what have you found so far? And I'm always also interested about any misconceptions people have about this process, but just any trends that you found or things that you think would benefit listeners.
Sure. I think I experienced it for active duty transitioning. There's just a lot of stuff. And it's not as simple as just putting your name and an email into a particular platform or a particular transition program, whatever it might be. It's a full-time job, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I think it's pretty consistent, not just on our platform, but with other stuff that I experienced. So there's a lot of misconception out there. Hey, I'm going to put my name in here and I'm just going to see what happens. And the reality is you really got to put a lot of time and effort in. You really got to focus. It's your life. It's your transition. It's your career path. It's your education. And it's not as simple as just signing up for something and the rest, you know, the magic opportunity is not just going to fall into your lap. So I think that's the one thing that I would say is pretty consistent of a lot of the military folks that we talk to is lack of engagement or wondering if there's still enough time or how to go about something. You really got to go out and get it. It's not going to fall on your lap.
What success stories have you seen so far? Do you have any examples so far of people who have kind of gone through this program and you've been able to connect those dots for them?
Sure. So there's a lot of great success stories of just people who have gone on and played college sports after the military. I think specifically for ours, we have 16 football players who are going to be playing this fall. We launched about a year ago, so we have over 1,000 athletes on active duty who are on our platform right now, who separate all the way out to 2020, 2021. So I think we'll see our first official success stories, really later this fall as they start to hit campus and start to make those roster spots. But I think that in general, those 16, you know, there's some come from all walks of life. Some of them had Division I scholarships before they enlisted. Some of them only had a GED, and
went into the National Guard and used that as an opportunity to improve their life and improve their education and opportunity for themselves. So we've really had all walks of life come through the platform and finding success through that. So we're excited to see this fall as they start to hit campus.
Such a fantastic idea. I mean, I love the way that you're bridging this gap and making it simple for people to figure out how they can get to college, how they can get to college as an athlete. And I think of all the people I've interviewed, so often what people find missing when they make that transition from the military is that sense of camaraderie, that teamwork, that sense of a purpose. And not that I would expect college athletics to completely fill that void. I imagine for most of the people that you work with, it is a great transition point, and they've got that team, they've got that physical challenge, they've got that group around them, that camaraderie. I imagine that's a great emotional, psychological support for people as they make that transition.
I mean, it's huge, and that's what, you know, we say that we just want to use team sports as a solution for structure on campus. And the reason being is, you know, student athletes graduated over 85%. And when you look at that and start to digest it compared to veterans at 50% or less, you start to understand why is when you get on campus, just by being even at the Division III and junior college level, if you play a college sport, it's a full-time job. You have a regimented training schedule. You have coaches who are constantly looking out for you, making sure you're doing the right thing. There's obviously, extra educational opportunities, even the application process. Once a coach decides to want you on their team, they really through the process. And we've seen which platform who have committed to colleges, and they've literally been accepted within a week of their application because it kind of gets walked through the admissions process. So having those teammates, having that structure, having that purpose, working towards a common goal makes really the education piece in a sense secondary. And you might find a little bit more purpose in the team environment, but then ultimately you're going to earn your education. You're going to play sports. You're going to have a great time. You're going to be part of something. And then ultimately you're going to be much more employable in the workforce. Once you actually have that military background combined with your education, it's going to set you up better long-term.
That's awesome. Well, I wanted to switch gears and talk about your personal story of how you got here, but anything before we move on about Athletes of Valor that we haven't talked about that you wanted to share with listeners?
No, I think that's it. I think, you know, I would encourage, you know, any listeners either on active duty, or recently separated veterans, you know, share with your friends, share with those others who could benefit from the platform. It's really simple. It's 100% free. It's one of these things that we're here, we spend our time, and we have a great team who's going to work with each athlete who signs up, and to make sure that they have the best transition experience possible. And again, it's one of those things, the more work that they put in, the more likely they are to find a place to play. And I think that, you know, we like to say, hey, if there's someone who has any athletic ability, you know, you come on the platform, and we can pretty much guarantee that we will find you a school with a level that you can play at and transition seamlessly, no questions.
That's great. It's that stat you gave too on college completion rates tied to athleticism is really incredible. So I love the I think that what you're doing serves a lot of needs and benefits veterans in a lot of ways. So I really appreciate that. Going back to your own journey, what led you to leave the Marine Corps, and how did you approach that decision?
Yeah, I think, I enlisted in 2004, right out of high school, served, you know, 4 years active duty, a couple deployments overseas. And I think after my first deployment, you know, before we were heading out on the second deployment, I think that for me, it was one of those things. I knew that, I wanted to go find, and I don't want to say bigger or better things, but wanted to, you know, I had a great experience. I loved every part of serving the Marine Corps. It was just one of those things that I did what I wanted to accomplish, and I accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish. And now it was time to take everything I've learned and leverage that into the next phase of a career and bring that more into the civilian world. So it was pretty clear after probably about two and a half years of on active duty that I say, hey, I'm pretty confident that I'm gonna separate and move on.
And what was that first job search like, and how did you end up at Wellpower Sports?
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I'm going to be honest with you. It's pretty tough. I mean, you know, as an infantry guy in 0311 and separating without much as from the enlisted ranks. And I had just got back from my second deployment about 4 months before I separated. So not a whole lot of time to really kind of get everything in order, as, you know, just the checkout process, you know, takes up a lot of that time. So the first, you know, it was challenging to get a lot of callbacks, especially just based off sending resumes and things of that nature, or applying for specific jobs to make sure to translate that experience that, especially in the business world, it was really trying to translate and get in front of the right people and say, hey, I have a good head on my shoulders. I've never done this particular type of role in the past, but I'm confident, obviously, with a little bit of training and exposure that, you know, I could take on anything that really that comes my way and whatever those responsibilities might be. So it was really hard to, at that stage, get in front of the right people and get those callbacks just through applying for jobs that you thought might be a good fit. And I would say so. And then so for Wellpower, it was actually an old football coach of mine from high school who, just in networking, hey, I separated from the Marine Corps, reached out to him, say, here, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do from a career standpoint. I'd love to talk to him. And he actually works. Wellpower is an overseas manufacturer for some of the top brands in the world. And he actually represents them from a U.S. perspective. He's one of the U.S. Sales reps. And he kind of had a few extra things going on. He said, you know, I could kind of introduce you to this industry. You could kind of help me out with some development projects, working with some of these brands like Under Armour, like Dick's Sporting Goods, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, yeah, I guess that sounds great. Well, I started taking college courses at the local community college. And one thing led to another, you know, started working for him and really on the, really as a, and almost in a sense as a paid internship just to get exposure to the industry. And ultimately that's what led me to Under Armour.
That's awesome. And I guess what would you want listeners to know about the work that you did at Wellpower Sports? Like, what was your day-to-day life like, and how were you, what sort of work did you do?
So working in sporting goods products and manufacturing and product development, product line management. So it was pretty, it was just what I was looking for. It was kind of deep exposure just to figure things out and using this military background of, you know, here's a mission, go accomplish it and go figure out how to get it done. So it was pretty instrumental, you know, throwing projects at everything from developing new sports protective equipment for a particular potential customer, or laying out a product line for, again, a new, you know, sports medicine line that we could potentially go present to a new customer of ours. So It was really, hey, go figure this out, figure out pricing, figure out product management, how are we going to manufacture this, what materials are we going to use, go do research of what's in the market, what are current athletes at the high school level and the youth level, what are they wearing, what are they doing, what are some trends. So it was really taking my athletic background on top of, you know, the stuff that I learned in the Marine Corps and using all those products as well, and kind of how do we combine those two into more kind of protective equipment and sports equipment, and how can we leverage those to then obviously create new products.
Yeah, that sounds like an ideal job, just to be able to get exposure to all those things. And I imagine it would be overwhelming just to have all of these new unknown things going on and juggling all these balls. But I imagine that would also give you a really good taste of what things you like and dislike and what you wanted more of.
Exactly. So, I mean, you kind of know and you know, you've used all these products over the years, and now you have the opportunity to kind of influence those in a sense. So it was a fun role, really, to go see some trends. What are guys doing? What are kids doing? How can we go turn that into a product that we can work with the brand to potentially bring to market? And, you know, seeing it come full circle, everything from, you know, making mock-ups of a particular product to then figuring out how we're going to manufacture this, what's our potential pricing model, and so on and so forth. So it was a good deep dive exposure. And for me, transitioning, it was exactly what I really wanted from a challenge, both, you know, intellectually, but also being part of something that I was really engaged with and really interested in, as opposed to just kind of a daily grind of a day-to-day job.
That's awesome. And you mentioned while you were doing that, it led you to Under Armour. What was that process like, starting working at Under Armour and finding that position?
Yeah, so Under Armour, we were going down. We used to go down there on, you know, business opportunities when we were working on a few different product lines with them. So Wellpower Sports is one of the protective manufacturers for some of the product lines for Under Armour. And, you know, going down there was really, you know, with my then boss, who from Wellpower, and really the first time you walk in there, you really just feel the culture. It's an incredible campus, really high energy team in there, really smart people, and very, very forward thinking on innovation and how do they, you know, literally make athletes better through creating incredible products. So those couple meetings went, you know, really well, and it was just a great learning experience to see what it was like from now, instead of being in a small kind of sales office, to now being part of this massive brand and this massive company. So those meetings, you know, they were instrumental in me seeing that, hey, this is an industry that I want to be a part of long term. And I think that it definitely makes sense from a transition perspective and where I want to be in my career. And obviously that led to a full-time employment with them as well.
What was life like while you were at Under Armour, and how would you describe your roles and the type of work you did?
Sure. So after those first couple of meetings, and you know, the gentleman who I was meeting with turned into being my hiring manager at the time, and they were growing their team sports accessories lines and their sporting goods lines, and he asked one time, hey, we're building out the team, would it be something you'd be interested in? And I never thought I would ever move down to Baltimore, Maryland, but being from Boston and just getting out of the Marine Corps and living back in Boston, but it was one of those opportunities you knew it was the right move and the right thing to do. So jump ship down there. I started more in development, product development, and managing everything from protective equipment to gloves, which is, you know, athletic receiver gloves or baseball batting gloves, and then also working on any advanced projects, so kind of special projects on the side that were kind of new potential protective pieces of equipment for any type of sports. Started in that for about 2 years, and then moved over to more of the product line management side, where it was less about product development and, you know, traveling to factories, going overseas, all over Southeast Asia, and building products, working with the manufacturing teams, to then moving over to the product line management, which is focused more on the business model and building product lines, working with the sales teams, understanding, you know, the trends out there, what do we need to bring to the line, where are we missing, managing more of the business and then the licensing aspect of it. So kind of got to see both sides of building the product and also managing from a business perspective.
Man, that sounds really awesome. I mean, I love the thought you've just been building up this expertise so far. Everything that goes into making these products, and then the business side, I'm envious of how you were able to kind of start to master in this industry different facets and different valuable skill sets in bringing those products to life.
I think it's important in this, especially in any manufacturing industry, is if you're going to manage the business and you're going to manage those product lines, you have to have a pretty good understanding of how everything's made and how those decisions are made. What can you mass produce and manufacture? How long is it going to take? And, for me, spending, you know, trip after trip in Asia and working with those factories and understanding everything from, you know, how do you create a product, within a particular margin and, you know, it's saleable at a particular price, and how do you scale that across your entire line and have multiple price points and tiered segments and things like that, and understand what the consumers are looking for. It was instrumental to me to be part of that development side before moving in to manage the business, and definitely helped me through that process.
And if a veteran listening is excited about this type of work, or in particular excited about an opportunity with Under Armour, do you have any advice for them about how to try to get a job, or the application process or interview process?
Yeah, I think that, one, they're very veteran friendly. There's a lot of veterans who work there. I worked with a lot of great veterans who were there. And I think, like anything else, and I would say this is pretty consistent across the board, I would say it's network, network, network. You can definitely apply through the jobs online. These companies these days are very responsive. And I think the biggest thing you can do is get involved somehow, some way with the sporting goods industry, whether it's directly with Under Armour or potentially with one of their partners or somebody who works with them. And the biggest thing is, and I'm sure it's consistent across every industry, is build that network and you find the right person. And, you know, most of the jobs are filled, you know, internally or through personal networks and so on and so forth. So it's a pretty, once you get into the sporting goods world, and especially a brand like that, it's a pretty small industry. And then once people start to learn who you are and your work ethic and so on and so forth, it's a lot easier to get the foot in the door there.
And I'd love to hear, what was the genesis then of Athletes of Valor?
So yeah, I mean, it was built off my own personal experience transitioning, and you know, while at Under Armour, that was my dream career and dream company that I could work with, and you know, one of the hardest things to start Athletes of Valor was to leave Under Armour to kick this off, but it was important to me, and I think that you know, being around all these high school, I worked with a lot of high school athletes when we were working on products. There's a lot of events that I used to attend of some of the top recruits across the country. And I used to say, and I used to joke with some of the team who ran these events, I said, hey, why don't we run these combines on a military base who has, you know, anywhere from 19 to 29 year old males and females who have, most of them on the enlisted side, have all their eligibility. They have these great educational benefits, and they could go play college football or college baseball or basketball, whatever it might be, once they transition out of service. And, you know, it's piqued a lot of interest, and people, you know, understood it a little, you know, here and there. And then I really started, just spent about a year, you know, moonlighting at night, just really digging deeper of who's found success, the Nate Boyers of the world, the Daniel Rodriguez's of the world, Hank Goff last year, who won the leadership award and played a Division II team, and how impactful sports has really been for those who have transitioned and how they've all moved on to be successful. And that's where it really started, putting all the pieces together of bridging all the gaps and connecting all the dots there, talking to a lot of guys who served on active duty and then went on to play college sports, learning about what was that experience like, what were the pain points, where was the friction. And, you know, talk to enough people, talk to enough coaches, and, you know, all the right pieces were there. Coaches are saying, hey, I'd love to recruit more of these guys. Where do I find them? How do I talk to them? So on and so forth. And then you talk to the athletes and they say, hey, I just got lucky. I sent a 1,000 videos of myself training to coaches, and one of them actually called me back, and I got my foot in the door that way. So I said, there's got to be a better way. There should be a platform. There's hundreds of platforms for high school students who are transitioning or trying to, you know, get themselves recruited at the collegiate level, that we can create a simple platform and make sure it's available to everyone on active duty to transition seamlessly and use sports as a structure on campus.
I love just the process you're going through, because I think that for people listening, whether or not they have an interest in this particular or just starting their own company, that process, I just love the thought of you, working, burning the midnight oil, as you said, like just working at night and weekends to talk to people and vet an idea and kick the tires and really refine it, and having that grow while you're still at Under Armour. You're still gainfully employed, you're still bringing in income and starting to de-risk this. And I also appreciate how difficult it must have been to leave. Like what you said was your dream job with your dream company. It takes tremendous courage to jump off from that. But I hear when you're talking about that, your passion for this and, you know, the insight of the difference this is making for so many people, and how there is a giant piece of the puzzle missing for this underserved population of veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. If I could do it again, I would probably stay even longer, moonlighting and taking the lunch phone calls the best I could till it physically got to be too much. But I think that was super important to really, really play devil's advocate, do all the legwork, have a lot of the conversations very early on, and even get my first really 20 to 30 athletes that I started working with just off an Excel spreadsheet and talking with them personally. And really proving out, hey, there's people out here that want this. Now, how many others out there could we touch and really support just simply by making it a priority and creating a business around it? So, yeah, the decision to leave Under Armour, yeah, of course, was very difficult. And I joked that it was one of the longest walks home. I lived up the street only about 5 minutes, but it was one of the longest walks home after I actually had my exit interview and was like, hey, am I really going to walk away from this incredible opportunity? But for me, it was very important. This is something outside of just being a business. It's a path and a process that should exist, and now it does. And whether or not, you know, it turns into a monster business and company or not, there's still now a path for anyone who wants to play college sports and is on active duty, and we can support them through that transition. And that was very important to build something that matters.
One of the things I think about a lot is the author Elizabeth Gilbert has this book called Big Magic. It's like just a book about people who want to live creative lives, be it entrepreneurs or artists or writers. And she talks about, she wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love. She talks about how people will come up to her and say, hey, I'm going to quit my job and become a writer. And she always cringes and she says, you know, don't put that much pressure on your inspiration. Don't ask it to like feed your creativity and to provide you with a paycheck. And she talks about how she wrote, you know, just like you were doing at Under Armour, she wrote on lunch hours and she got up at 4 a.m. and she stayed up until midnight and she was just filling in every little piece on the side until, you know, her work was able to support her lifestyle. And I'm curious, you know, particularly given that you had said that you wished you had done it longer and kind of stayed at Under Armour a little bit longer, what was it that came together that gave you that thought of like, now is the time? Like, was there a particular acceptance rate you were looking for, or a certain amount of money in your bank account? Or at what point did you say, like, did you know this is the right time to jump off?
I think it was a combination of a few different things. Is one, you know, the timing perspective, it was starting to get a little cumbersome trying to do both, because my, you know, as much as I was cranking away on my day job and working as hard as possible, there was a lot of things, you know, my desire and my want was to start to continually build Athletes of Valor, not just at night, not just, you know, over the phone. And I really, really fell in love with one, the mission and what we had the opportunity to build and to do. So that was one thing. You know, two, life experience and life timing. You know, I was just getting married, hadn't started a family yet, have a baby on the way in the next couple of months. So the timing, it was like, for me, life-wise, it was a good timing because I didn't have some of those other responsibilities that I knew I was going to have, you know, where I'm coming in the next year. So it was important for me to say, hey, if I'm going to go jump and do this, I should really do it now, because once we start a family, you know, it gets a lot harder just because you obviously there's children to support and mouths to feed and so on and so forth. So there's much, you know, having something a little bit more steady might have been more important at that time. So timing, that timing was important. And then also, you know, securing a couple initial investors to support financially to help build out a team who've invested in the company, so we could then build the software that supports what we're doing. That was obviously instrumental as well, to have someone, not only just from a financial backing, but have some really solid partners behind the scenes that had the resources and the education to really help put all the pieces together.
And what does your life look like right now, especially for those veterans listening who aspire to start their own company and follow in your footsteps on this? What does like a typical day look like, and what does your life look like in terms of like, do you have a life outside of work, and what's that like?
Yeah, I joke, you know, sometimes, you know, for example, even over the holiday this past weekend, people are, you know, asked if I had to work on a certain day. And I said, did I have to work on a certain day? I said, this is my life. I mean, this is what I do. So it's always funny because it's not a, you know, what your life looks like is for me, this is what I want to make my life's work and what I'm passionate about and what I enjoy doing. So I would say that, you know, I'm not going to be the one that sits here and says, hey, I work 120 hours a week, but at the same time, this is what I do, whether it's I wake up in the morning and I check emails, or whether it's on the couch at night and I'm doing something, whether it's researching or talking, you know, talking to athletes or talking with coaches. It doesn't as much seem like work, but I engulf my life around that. You know, I travel, we run combines both off base, and then we're about to be on a couple of military installations here in partnerships with the Army and the Marine Corps in the next couple of months. So, you know, my travel and time spent there is running all over the place. So also, you know, from a small team dynamic, whether it's fundraising or sales or product development, whatever it might be, it's constant. And if it's not something that you're extremely passionate about, it can probably be challenging. So for me, a typical day is running all over the place, doing, you know, meetings, whether it's fundraising with potential investors, whether it's talking with coaches, talking with athletes, whether it's early in the morning or late at night. It's really a 24-hour operation. And you just come, the best thing that, you know, I do is I call it, you know, what my day to day is like, is I just keep going. So as much as I can fit into one day and get myself ahead, you know, one day, be, you know, a little bit further today than I could have been, you know, by waiting till tomorrow, just fill the pipeline and just keep going.
I love that, man. I think that's such a beautiful depiction of entrepreneurship. And I love that you found something. It's just exciting to hear that you found something that so clearly lights you up, and it also has such a positive impact on the world and the veteran community. And Yeah, I think that's just really inspiring. How do you get paid? Is this something that the schools then pay like a recruiting fee? Because you said it's free for veterans, or is this donation supported? Or how do you keep the lights on?
Yeah, so there's partnership annual partnership fees from the schools that we partner with, either the entire university or college or individual coaches who are just looking for their respective teams. So there's part of the annual partnership fees there. We also have corporate sponsors for some of our events to make sure that we can obviously cover the costs out there. And then we're also building a career platform that should be hopefully ready by the end of the year. That will also be corporate partners who specifically in the sports tech and sports industry, sporting goods industry, who want to be able to highlight internships and job opportunities. Similar to it, we'll have kind of two tiers where it'll be a job board and then also more of like a more third-party recruiting that we can actually help fill specific roles, specifically with those who are have played college sports and served their country in one way or another, or veterans who have an interest in the athletic market and sporting goods market. So that'll be our kind of next revenue stream as well.
That's so cool. It's like you're literally building the platform that you wish was in place when you had transitioned. It's
100%. Yeah.
that's so cool. For those listening who would love to start their own company, what advice do you have from that for them from what you've learned so far?
Yeah, I would say that, and I hate to be cliche, but everything that people told me and I said, well, I know they say that and that's not gonna, pertain to me or for one reason or another, but it probably is. I mean, it's a lot of stuff out there. It's gonna be a lot harder than you think. It's gonna take longer than you think. And just be prepared for, there's a lot of ups and downs, and that's one of the biggest things you can either read about or be told about is you're gonna have good days and you're gonna have bad days, and the biggest thing you can do is you just got to keep going. And I think that that's one of those things that the military teaches you. One, you can embrace the suck, and as things get kind of rough, you just keep going and make the best of what you can. But also just stay the course. You're going to have a million people try to tell you what the best thing you should be doing. Oh, this will never work. This is going to work. And the reality is like you're the only person who can really keep it all together and will ultimately know what it's going to take to get your business or get your startup to the next level. So I would say that, the best thing you can do is just be prepared for that and don't let it, it's going to get discouraging at points, but the only thing you just keep saying in the back of your mind is stay the course. Keep working towards your goal. Keep making strides every day and get further ahead, today than you could be tomorrow or further ahead than you were yesterday. And it'll all fall into place from there.
I think that's such fantastic advice. Is there any resources that could be books or conferences or programs, anything that you found helpful to you, either in the first part of your career with Under Armour or in entrepreneurship that you would recommend to veteran listeners?
So I think for me personally, and I will say this might be a broad answer, but I would say whatever your respective industry is, you need to immerse yourself into that industry and make sure that you have all the answers to every question that you're ever going to get. And if you ever don't have the answer to a question, you need to go find that answer and make sure the next time you get asked that question, you understand what that is. So for me, a good example entering the sporting goods market is I didn't know the first thing about materials and manufacturing processes and things of that nature and what other all the brands that were out there. And I just immersed myself, everything from YouTube videos on how to make certain products, what certain materials were, what this type of adhesion was, whether it's a heat seal or other types of screen printing, all that. And the next time I was in a meeting, I was able to speak to it intelligently because I actually knew and did the research. When I started Athletes of Valor, it was a space that I've never been in, technically into recruiting and into understanding and really creating a market and creating a business model around that. So the resources out there, I'd say everything across from books, from articles, from speaking with as many people around the space as possible. You just need to immerse yourself in all aspects of that. So when someone asks you a question and you give them an answer, they truly understand you are the subject matter expert in that particular field and other person that can get this done. So I know it's a broad answer and there's no, hey, read this book and 12 steps to being successful or whatever it might be. And it'll get you from point A to point B. But I say it's a combination of
everything that's out there, you need to be a sponge and you need to go get it.
I think it's a great answer. I think that's spot on of that need to be that subject matter expert. And there's like no easy way. It's just kind of immersing yourself and becoming that omnivore of finding everything possible. And I also love that image that you have of you know, as you don't have an answer, you got to get it for the next time. And I think that's very true in a case like yours, where you are creating an industry where you're going to get questions that you haven't even thought of. And so finding that answer and making sure the next time someone asks it, you've got a really good, well-researched answer for it.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, if you get asked a question that throws you off guard, especially from someone who's either a potential partner or a potential investor, and they look at you like you don't know the answer, and it's a valid question that you should have the answer to, you just really need to make sure that you're prepared for all angles. And I think that starts with being your own devil's advocate and asking yourself, hey, here's this great idea that you think you have. You know, what are the naysayers going to say, or what's the opposite side of that spectrum? You know, when you do that to yourself over and over again, then it's going to make your life, a lot easier.
That's great. Well, I've asked a lot of questions, but I always like to keep the last question open-ended, which is just, you know, knowing you've got an audience of people on active duty, people recently transitioned, and other veterans, what are your final words of wisdom for them, or anything else you'd want them to know?
Sure. I think that, hey, there's a lot of transitional programs out there. There's a lot of stuff out there that is geared towards veterans. And I would just say that, you know, do your research, reach out to the people, reach out to a lot of them and really ask all the right questions and make sure that they're going to provide you the support that it is that you're looking for. But truly understand that, I think a lot of people reach out expecting, whether it's a job search or a type of career training or, support in resumes or whatever it might be. And the reality is there's nothing more valuable than just doing that networking and, you know, doing those things yourselves, meaning it's not going to fall into your lap. You're not going to reach out to this one program or service and, this is a career training platform for veterans. I'm going to sign up here and I'm going to magically have a job for $100,000 next week. It's just not going to happen. So I think that make sure, hey, these are resources available to all of us as veterans or transitioning active duty, but make sure that you understand it's a lot of work and that it's up to you to really put the time in and to really go outside your comfort zone, reach out to people. If you're interested in a particular industry, you know, use a certain tool, find someone who you might be able to talk to who can introduce you to another person and use that network effect to make sure that you get the right introduction, sit down with the right people and get all that information that you need to obviously be successful.
That's great. You know, it's strikes me that a lot of people on the show have said that one of the downsides of the military is you're kind of spoon-fed the training you need for everything. You're spoon-fed the progression. You're spoon-fed even the transition out of the military. And it is a dramatic shift of just complete accountability for yourself, no one else looking out for you, no structure, no set plan. And so I love that thought of just, not expecting things to magically fall into your lap and just doing that hustle and just doing that networking, and that's going to be the best solution for most people, rather than finding one program that they think is just going to solve all their problems and they just enter their email and it's all taken care of. If only it could be that easy.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Alex, I appreciate your time on this. I appreciate the work that you're doing. For those interested at beyondtheuniform.io in the show notes, I'll have links to everything we talked about. But you can also check out Athletes of Valor online. Check out their site. If you know any veteran interested in this sort of program, thinking of being an athlete, wanting to go to college, it's a great, great way to do that. So thanks again for your time, Alex.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Surface.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed Alex's interview. You can check out more at athletesofvalor.com. I'll be back next week with more stories from veterans about their civilian careers, and have a great week.